Hello. I'm Jenny Palladian. My husband Matt and I serve in high school ministry, for those of you that I don't know. And I'm looking forward to this next part. Yes, come on up. Of our morning together, which will be a Q&A panel. And like Danny suggested, we'll get very practical during this time and during this discussion. So I am going to let the ladies introduce themselves. So if you guys could share your name and what ministry you're a part of here at Grace Church, because we're not all high school ministry here. And then what piece of scripture has encouraged you recently, either in your own personal studies or on a Sunday morning, something that has been an encouragement. So we'll start with move this. Okay. All right. We're going to rearrange here. Excuse me a minute.
I'm the boss.
Lauren,
one.
Because your wish is my command. That is.
Oh, I think that's great.
What we're doing.
Just
so,
needed to see that cute table.
Okay. My so go is, ahead. You start, Lauren. Tell us.
My name
who
is
you
Leah
are.
Lennington.
Yes, let's do that. She's way wiser
than me. My name is Lauren Brown, and I am in the high school ministry. My husband and I have been a part of the high school ministry since 1989, and so we are presently in the best Bible study, GBS, which meets here at church. Shout out to GBS, which we so love. And I was talking with a friend earlier about why we stay in high school ministry, and it's because this is such a great time for the Lord at work, not only in the lives of students, but our lives as well, because it's an opportunity when there's a lot of change, there's a lot going on, and so there's a lot of opportunity to look to the Lord and say, who are you? How are, and you mentioned this, Danny, to see the sufficiency of Christ in all circumstances, and it's really exciting. So my whole answer to your question about my favorite passage is the Bible. That's my answer. And I'm going through different studies at different times, but the one passage that I love that was really important to me as a young believer, I was not a believer in high school, and so I accepted Christ as my Savior in college, my first year in college. And I probably had a background that was like many of you, but something that I just clung to as a new believer, and I ended up going overseas, and so I was on my own, and this was just, even as we sang, an anchor for me. The truth of God's scripture is Psalm 121, and I'll tell you why, because it focused my attention first on who God is and his character, and then his sufficiency in my life, because it's never about me. We know the Christian life is never about us. It's all about who God is. And Psalm 121 starts, I will lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? This is an English version. Sorry, don't tell any of our pastors that I'm not using LSB right now. My help comes from the Lord, but this is his character. Who made heaven and earth? He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And it continues, but we see there immediately that God is the creator of let's try that one again. God is the creator of the world, and he's the sustainer of the world. And that helps me remain secure, stable, at peace, not anxious, no matter what I face. I'm not going to talk ever again.
How do I follow that? Not really quite sure. I feel like we could be done right now, and that would be great. I'm Leah Lennington, and my husband and I, we came here for him to go to seminary almost 12 years ago, and the Lord has seen fit to keep us here, which we are so thankful and humbled, because it has changed our marriage, it's changed our parenting, it's changed our life. So we really have a really sweet spot for Grace. We're really thankful, and in his providence, we've been able to serve in the now it's middle school ministry and children's ministry at Grace. And so that has been a huge blessing. We've been in middle school. I think it's like the 10th class we've seen come through. So that has been a really sweet, just a sweet blessing to be able to be a part of it. And we love high school ministry. It has ministered. We have three high schoolers right now, which I know sounds like a lot, and I'll tell you what, it is. So, but it's also been the sweetest, and to have small group leaders that love our kids and a pastor that teaches God's word. I mean, it's just been a really sweet blessing to watch this ministry and have it have a personal impact on you. You know what I mean? Because it's good, easy to say like, oh, it's a great ministry, but to see it and see it impact your kids is amazing. So I am, that's our history at Grace, and we're really thankful to be here. And then I grew up actually in I would say a nominal Christian like culture. So everybody thought they were Christians. I thought I was a Christian. I was not a Christian, but I got saved after college actually. So, but I'm thankful for how the Lord has grown me. And the verse that I chose is actually, it's not a verse that I've known forever, but it's the past couple years. It's the verse I keep coming back to. It's Psalm 18:30. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And I feel like I need this verse because it's like a recipe of all the things that I need to remember about the Lord. His way is perfect. He is doing exactly what he wants to do in my life. And it's perfectly well, Elizabeth Elliot has a saying she said in a book, one of her books, I don't know which one, but your trials and what you go through, they're handpicked for you. You couldn't learn those lessons any other way than what God has you going through. So God says what he does is good. So that just daily preaches to my heart that what God is doing in my life right now is absolutely perfect. See, how do I keep my phone on? Sorry. The second part of that verse is it is the word of the Lord proves true. So I need his word in my life to speak truth to my life. And then the third part, he is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And so he's the one I can go to for comfort. And so I feel like all those three things, I constantly need reminders in my life that he is absolutely perfect, that I need his word, and that I can go to him for comfort.
My name is Stephanie Walcott, and I was saved in my senior year of high school, and I understand what a pivotal time this is in your life. And it's a real joy to be with you today. I have been at Grace for a long time because I was saved at a Christmas concert here at the church through Pastor John sharing the gospel that night. I felt like it was just John and I in the sanctuary that night. And it was so sweet. I go to Anchored. I have hosted a Bible study at my house, an adult Bible study for over 12 years now. And it's been just a real joy to be here at this church, and I appreciate so much the faithfulness of this church. And one of the verses that has ministered to me most recently in my life, I'm actually right now studying Job. And Job 1:20 and 21, I'm confident you know this. Then Job rose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. And he worshiped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And, you know, trials, they come into your life in every season. And this has been a season of trial in my life. And the Lord has been so faithful. And one of the things I love about this verse is the fact that Job has gone through so much and has lost so much. And yet his response is a heart of worship. And our trials, they truly are, as the Bible says, they're momentary and light affliction, but they're used purposefully in our lives by the Lord to make us like Christ. And they can be very painful, and they can be deep valleys of hurt and sorrow. But God is with us, and he accompanies us through those, and he takes us out of those in a way that helps our character to become more like Christ. And so I'm grateful, and I've just learned we need to have a heart of worship, even in the midst of trials and sadness and hardness.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sosi Lopez. I think I'm probably the one that most of you aren't familiar with. My husband and I, we go to Foundation Bible Study Friday nights, and so that ministry is primarily devoted to single young adult career post high school. So that might be a ministry that some of you might end up in. I've been coming to Grace since 2013, and we serve in a variety of capacities in Foundation. So I lead a women's small group, and that's been a sweet time of discipleship. I also have training as a biblical counselor, so I'm able to bring that in when we are doing life on life with each other. My husband leads a community group. I'm just thankful to have this opportunity to come and just share a little bit with all of you. I would say for me, this season has also been, like Stephanie was saying, some with a little bit of trials. And so it's interesting because it's one thing, right, to come alongside others and to encourage others by way of God's word. But we should also know how to be encouraged by God's word directly and preaching the word to our heart. Recently, my dad had some health trials and he had a heart attack. And so that was a bit, that has a way of shaking you up. If it's not an immediate health trial, it's the health trials of others that can also impact you. I found myself very encouraged by John chapter 11, and most of you, if not all of you, know the story of Lazarus, and in that instant where, Mary and Martha are scrambling and trying to understand if only the Lord had intervened and done something sooner, this situation could have gone down differently. And I think I related in those instances. There's so much of Scripture that we can relate with, and it's very timely. And I found myself thinking, well, what could we have done that was different to prevent this situation, or done something differently? But it's a sweet reminder to know that the Lord is sovereign, and He didn't act immediately in Lazarus's situation and in my situation. Also, the Lord allows trials to happen in certain ways, and that's to draw us close to Him so that we rely on Him and we trust in Him. We grow in our faith. And then to go hand in hand with it is Romans 8, just remembering that the verse, Romans 8, 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So just being reminded on a daily basis that as believers, the resurrection power of Christ dwells in us. So in those moments where we might feel weak and frail and weary, it's the strength of God that is sustaining us. And He is working all things, as it says later in Romans, for our good and for His glory ultimately. So I would say that those were some of the areas that I was encouraged by more recently.
Hi, ladies. I'm Ann Johnson, and my husband and I are also on high school staff, and then I also get the joy of serving with Every Woman's Grace with a few of these ladies as well. We've been on high school staff for a few years this time. We were actually on high school staff like 20 years ago as dating and newlyweds, more than 20 years ago. And then we left, and we were with a commission for a long time, and it's been really sweet to be back, 3 or 4 years now maybe, back on high school staff in a different season of life now that we have kids. Our oldest is in high school, and we've got another one coming up next year. So we've really enjoyed being able to be a part of this ministry, serving at Westside. We love the opportunity to minister with high schoolers. As far as a verse that has meant a lot to me recently, in studying actually to teach what I'll be bringing later, I've been spending a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount. And so the verses that I've been thinking about would be very familiar to you. But I've been specifically thinking about how Jesus Himself calls us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Because where our treasure is, there our heart's going to be. And that has been a good reminder to me to consider where I'm spending my resources, not just money, but in life as a busy wife and mom of four kids and all of the ministry opportunities we have, all those different things. There's lots of things that pull on my time and even just my thoughts, all the different resources God has allowed me to have. And so reading those verses again has been a good reminder to me to consider where I'm investing and making sure that I'm trying to invest in things that will matter for eternity, even when I'm doing something very practical that needs to be done. That's just been food for thought in my own heart recently.
Hi, again. Lauren gave a very thorough rundown of my life. Thanks to my husband. So I feel like I don't have to say it again. But what else, though? I guess Yeah, a verse. Well, as I was studying about submission, I was also reading a book by Matthew Henry on meekness, which is why I said that word, because I was just like, these two are so inseparables, like being meek and also being willing to submit. They're so, yeah, they're linked together. So I been reading a book, yeah, called Meekness by Matthew Henry, and he just, I was like, whoa, I didn't realize how, like, meekness is just everywhere in Scripture, and he's just pointing that out. I mean, even just the... also the Sermon on the Mount, but the Beatitudes, like blessed are those who are, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I was just really, I just been impacted by the scriptures I've been reading about meekness, just because I feel like we're so prone to either be puffed up with pride or to be prone to be just restless because we're trying to find satisfaction in the world. And I think right now it's kind of trendy, actually, that people say, you need to slow down, you need to have a quiet life. But one quote that he said was like, we talk about having quiet lives when we really just need to have quiet hearts. That's where it starts. Having a quiet conscience is the start. And so I've just been really thinking about that, just not being so easily stirred up and shaken, whether it's about trials or just everyday interruptions or what's going on in my life, but seeking to be resting in Christ and having a quiet heart has just been a good thing for me lately. Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for sharing that. It's always, I think, a joy and an encouragement to hear what parts of Scripture are impactful in each of your lives. It helps give us a window into who you are. And so I was looking forward to hearing what you all said, and you didn't disappoint. So great job. Okay. So Dani mentioned that she was hopeful that we could get practical about submission in this discussion here. So we are going to go there first. So I hope you, once she said that, I hope you all started thinking about how can we get practical with submission, because here we go. What, maybe think of, you don't have to share a specific time, unless you want to, and it would be helpful, but a time where submission may have been difficult, or where there, you had the opportunity to submit, and how did you work through that? How did you have to work through it? Maybe submission isn't difficult for you, and that's okay, too. But in what ways did you prepare your heart to respond in a way that honored the Lord in that situation?
Okay, I have one.
Take it away.
When somebody asks this question, I have an incident that always comes to mind where I struggled as a relatively newly married wife. So we got married in 2003, so it's been a while. But I kind of thought, you know, I'd gone to Masters. I'd had to read all the books that ladies have to read there about, you know, being a Proverbs 31 woman and what submission looks like and all these different things. And I kind of thought I knew what I was getting into. But those of you that are married in the room, you probably all found that once you actually got married, sometimes when the rubber meets the road, it works out a little differently than it seems to when you were reading a book or a verse without having to actually live it out. Because submission's not hard when you agree with the person over you. It's hard when you have different perspectives. So one that comes to mind that I really struggled with was when we needed to replace a car. And some of those who know me well know that I'm pretty cheap and I always like to look for really good deals. And I really have a hard time with things like cars because as soon as you drive a new car off the lot, it loses so much value. And even more family context than you need, my grandfather and uncle had actually owned a used car lot. So we'd always gotten good cars at a great price my whole life. And when it came in our marriage to a point where we needed to replace a car, like had to, it was no option, my husband was concerned that we have a very safe car. And the way that he wanted to do that was by getting a new car. I'd never in my life had a new car. And I was like, but the money, the stewardship, and this was a real battle for me, like mentally and spiritually, because I knew what his perspective was. And he had a good desire in that. Like he was trying to look out for me as his wife, for our family. And I was thinking, but well, you've got to be good stewards of the money God's allowed us to have. And it was such an internal battle for me. And I, like, we talked back and forth and I would give him my perspective, but he still believed that was best for our family. And so this is the thing that comes to mind, because it was, I had to really pray. And in the end, I was reminded that my job as a wife was not to make the final financial decisions for our family. All of our money and resources belong to the Lord anyway. And the sin issue for me was not how are we going to spend our money, because ultimately my husband was responsible to the Lord for how he was going to lead our family and the decisions we were going to make. My responsibility before God was to ultimately put myself under the leadership of my husband and follow along without fighting. I was completely free to be able to talk about my perspective and discuss it back and forth, but when the end came down to it, I had to submit to his decision. And it was a really good, hard at the time, but a really good lesson for me to remember that ultimately when I was submitting to my husband, it wasn't because I was perfect or because my husband was perfect or either of us would always make the right decision. It was because our Lord is perfect and I can trust him no matter what the situation is. Even if, and it wasn't a foolish decision in this case, but even if my husband had made a foolish decision, I still would have been the one that obeyed the Lord. I needed to put myself under my husband's decision. And then the Lord protects the wife in that situation. Even if our husbands make a bad choice, or your future husband for some of you, we submit to our husbands because it's the Lord that we trust, and he will take care of us regardless of the situation as we obey him.
I have kind of a high school version of that story. Like I said, I grew up in a nominal Christian home, and my parents were wonderful. They loved me, and we went to church sometimes, but there was no Bible study. There was no discipleship. There was no speaking truth. We went to a mother-daughter thing, but it wasn't, you know, it was just not biblical expository preaching that we ever heard. So none of that was part of the equation here. So when I went to high school, I actually ended up going into a Christian high school, and I learned it was nominal as well. But I really thought I was saved. I realized much later when I was saved that there was some components missing. I didn't realize I was a sinner, which is it's a pretty big deal to realize you're a sinner. So basically when I thought I was a Christian, it just made me better. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, I want to be saved from hell. And so I had a lot of knowledge without application. I knew the Bible, but I didn't have anyone teaching me. I didn't have any even good preaching from the pulpit. So it was all basically I could twist verses kind of however I wanted. So I went off to college, a Christian college, and I read my Bible. I lived a life that I thought was a Christian life. And my parents disagreed with a lot of my decisions during that time. And I had such a hard time. And I thought the verse, honor your parents, didn't apply to me because my parents weren't like Bible believing, you know what I mean? Like in the word all the time, they didn't know what they were talking about. So I didn't have to obey them. And I'm not kidding when I say I made every mistake you could possibly make in college. And I made them all. Like I dated the wrong people. My parents said that person is not, their character is not good. And I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not a Christian. So I look back at that and think two things. Number one, I'm deeply grieved because I made all these mistakes. My parents tried to warn me and I didn't believe them because I didn't take what God's word said literally. My parents did have wisdom. You know what I mean? Like if anything, they knew more about life. They knew more about people. They had so much more wisdom that I didn't take advantage of. You know what I mean? And it cost me a lot of mistakes. And then secondly, I think it ruined my testimony with my parents. You know what I mean? Like I said, I was a Christian. I was better than they were. And when I finally did have the gospel in my life and realized what a sinner I was, just even now, like, you know what I mean? Like so many years later, like the hard mental game of that's too bad. I ruined my testimony to my parents. Like I wasn't a Christian, but do they understand that? You know what I mean? Do they understand the difference between what I said then and what I see now, what I say now? I understand that now I have growth and they've seen like me make decisions that, you know, honor the Lord, and they see Jay and I's marriage and they see how he interacts with me. And so I do understand that there's a lot of good influence that's happening now, but how much I mourned for all the things that I had to learn by making mistakes when I could have just, if I would have known God's word, you know what I mean? and would have like known that that was like serious. Your parents, you're still called to honor them for both of those reasons, because they do have more wisdom than you do. And also be a good influence, like be a good example to your parents if your parents are unsaved. So I don't know. I just, that has just stuck with me so strongly. And just in that, with the submission to parents, but also the fill your mind with God's word, know what it means, and also surround yourself with people who are going to say, you're dumb. That doesn't make sense. Because no one called me out, and I don't want to blame my friends because they were good friends, but nobody knew God's word. You know what I mean? And so if somebody, I wish somebody would have said to me, like, that's not what God's word means. You know what I mean? And so just those two things, those, I guess, four things are takeaways from that period of time, that just about submission and just how much, you know, God puts those protections around us. You know what I mean? As women, like, thankful I have a husband that, you know, not perfect, but is loving the Lord and wants to do the best for our family. And I can trust him. But more than that, I can trust the Lord. Having parents that not perfect, but love the Lord and wanted, like, there's nothing in it for them. They just want your best. And so I guess that's my, I don't know, feel on submission, because I just have such regret. You know what I mean? Hope my mom's not listening to me.
I can add one. So we have a great example. We talked about marriage, talked about parents. I have one from the work environment. Danny did a great job about talking about that submission is a heart attitude. So there was, I was single for quite some time before I got married. And so working in a secular business environment can be tough. And so there was a season where I'm in marketing. I had a director who was just a very difficult person. And he knew I was a Christian. And he would find every opportunity to give me a tough time. And even in the day-to-day work, there were just challenges that would come up all the time. I wasn't his preferred person on the team. And so I just remember struggling with not liking him and doing my best to respond and to show up every day, being faithful, right? The Lord created us to work and to be a good steward. And then I would always just feel conviction whenever I'd come across the scripture that says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And so here I was just struggling, knowing that this is the place of work. He is my, you know, director, and I need to follow the guidelines. But how do I interact day to day when I just didn't feel like I was respected or just whatever the situation was? And I found myself in the midst of that difficulty just seeking the Lord more for wisdom. It's oftentimes in those challenges and when we are not comfortable where the Lord is allowing the situation for a reason and to do a work. And truthfully, I did look for other jobs. I found myself thinking, well, if I can't deal with this and I'm not happy, then I'm going to look for something else to do. And I just remember disciplers in my life reminding me that it's not about my happiness, it's about my holiness. And the Lord is allowing this situation to test how I'm going to respond. This is a lesson in itself. And so even though I did my best to show up every day and put on my happy pants, there were just difficulties. And I would still on the side apply for other things, but the Lord didn't open other doors. And I realized there's a reason for that. The Lord is keeping me here for a reason. And I need to continue to be faithful. And even when I felt disrespected, I have to remember I'm going to give an account to the Lord one day. How am I going to respond to him, even though he's not being very respectable himself? And so I find myself just being resolved in my heart. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be kind even when he's not. And I continued to do that for however long the Lord allowed me in that environment. And lo and behold, I didn't know that he was also having issues with our higher ups. And as the Lord in his providence would allow it, they ended up firing him. And then they brought in, so I'm just going to bring some corporate stuff in. They brought in the president of our company. And I remember him sitting me down and I was so nervous and him saying, I know you have ideas and I want you to spread your wings. We've removed that situation so that you're not going to be stifled anymore. But all to say, they could see that I was being faithful behind the scenes day to day. And I never complained. I didn't go to them and say whatever it was. I just showed up and did my best. But as the Lord allowed the circumstances to go down, they removed him. And then a lot of change came forth. So it's kind of like Joseph's story, right? You just don't know what's ahead of you. But just continuing to show up with an attitude of following God's word and being obedient and being faithful. And as the circumstances would work out, he was removed and change came about and I was able to grow in different ways that I wouldn't have if he had stayed. So I say that because submission has a lot to do with the heart attitude as well.
I won't make this one too long so we can move on to another question. But yeah, I had a similar situation, but in high school with a coach, it was very similar. I remember when it was announced that he was going to be the new basketball coach, everyone was like, ooh, because he was like a teacher too at the school that nobody really loved because he was very grumpy and just a very he had just very harsh ways about him. And so we were, all of us were not very thrilled about that news. And after a few like tryouts and a few practices, I was like, I was upset. I was like, I don't want to play. I didn't really like, I played volleyball, basketball, and did track and field. And basketball of the three was like my least favorite. And I kind of did it because my dad really wanted me to play. And I was like, Dad, I don't want to do this. I don't like this coach. Like, I'm done. I'm going to go try out for soccer. Like, I legit like was telling the soccer girls, I'm going to go play with you. And they're like, okay. And then my teammates were like, what? You know, why are you going? Like, we want you to be with us still. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what to do. And I was a newer, because again, I was like, I believed in the gospel freshman year. This was like junior year. So I was still very new to what it looked like to live as a Christian. And I had some good friends who were just like not on the team, but they're like, hey, you're the only Christian on this team. And it's similar to like what you're saying. You may not be like the happiest, it may not be the happiest season for you, but it's not about you. Like, you can go be a light for Christ on that team and for your coach. And I was like, okay. I was like, really still not thrilled about it. My heart was still not in the right place. And like you were saying, like, he was not a very respectable person. Like, practices were very, very intense. And I was always questioning, like, why am I here? But at the same time, there were so many really, really amazing conversations with my teammates about, and also just that conviction, like, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to make a big deal about the coach to my teammates. I'm going to encourage them. When he's discouraging them, I'm going to encourage them. The Lord grew me so much through that, even though it wasn't something I would have picked for myself. Just learning to, submit in that sense to a coach who was not someone who I admired. And at the same time, God had put him there. It was a really, really good season of growth for my faith. And then even just, I now have teammates who I've seen. Like, I shared the gospel with them, and they didn't believe at that time. But now, years later, I see that they're going to church. And I'm like, the Lord used those times to plant seeds. I don't know if it may not have been me at all. But the Lord is always at work, and we have no way of seeing like what he can do through our small acts of faithfulness. That was a really cool experience, even though it was difficult.
So helpful, everybody. And I think what we're hearing is a lot of the same common or a lot of the common themes in working out submission is obedience, having a heart that trusts God, not having to know the whole picture, but just if you're obedient in the small things, that God's going to use those things either in your lives or in the lives of others. So it was neat to hear that common thread through each of your stories, and having to work through submission. So it makes me think about, so a lot of our high schoolers here are growing in their faith, new in their faith potentially. How have you cultivated in all your years those convictions, and how have you gained the knowledge so that when you do find yourself in situations like this, you have something to fall back on, or you know what to do because of what God's word says? So what kind of practices have you implemented in your life to inform those decisions when, or those hard times or those trials when they come, or that situation that you have at school or at work?
So one of the things I was thinking about before I got saved was the fact that when I struggled with things that were not right, my conscience would convict me. And I was not saved. I didn't know the Lord at all. I'd never really stepped foot into a church. I didn't know who Christ was. So I thought, this is interesting. I have this innate ability to know when I'm doing wrong. Where is this coming from? And it was a curiosity to me. And then obviously I started to think, is there a divine creator? Where else would this be coming from? Because I've never myself poured into this aspect of my life, but I knew definitely in my heart when I was not doing the right thing. And so when I heard the gospel and, things started to kind of fall into place in my mind, but I think a lot about my conscience, and I look at it as like this amazing, finely tuned instrument. And it's tuned to things like Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is dignified, right, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, consider these things. And so I just think about, I'm thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit, but I think about that protection that God's placed in our lives, the conscience in and of itself. And the fact that when we sin, these alarms go off in our heart. And when we begin to embrace sin and a life of disobedience, that conscience becomes dulled and it becomes silenced. And you never want to be in that place. So you want to be building up that internal protection that the Lord has placed there. And so when you think about it, you just, God's word, abiding in the Lord, praying without ceasing, and honestly having, like we talked about, good company in your life, friends who will hold you accountable to things. The conscience itself has played a really integral part in my own life and enabling me to follow the Lord and be obedient. So I'm just really grateful for that.
When I went to high school, back when there were horses and carriages, it was in this Los Angeles area, and I went to a very small high school, and it was a private girls' school, so there were only 76 girls in my class. And it was a college prep, so there was a lot of emphasis and focus on academics. And what kicked this off in my mind was your use of the word convictions, because I think that's really critical to understand from where our convictions come. And in high school, I had some very sweet friends, four girls, so there was the five of us, and we had a great time. We still are friends. We get together every year. And so these friends had a different path than I did. They were wonderful, but they didn't inform my thinking about what was right. And so when I would go to the teachers of the school or the administrators of the school and say, I think that God is working in my life. So what does that mean? And they told me that I was wrong in asking those questions. So the convictions that I had weren't coming from being informed by my elders. They weren't coming from my peers. I certainly was getting that at home through my mom and dad. But then I went to college. And for the first time, though I had expressed eagerness to know God, for the first time I was exposed, also in Los Angeles. Go Trojans. I have to represent the other side of the city from my Bruin friend over here. But I was exposed to the Bible. And the Bible is real. And the Bible is true. And God has a standard. And God has expectations for all of his creation, whether you acknowledge him as your Savior or not. And so to be able to read in Romans and say, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's not a message that I was ever told. I was always told, you're a good kid. You can do whatever you want. The sky's the limit kind of thing. No one ever really spoke to me about the fact that God had expectations of holiness and obedience for his people. And so to inform convictions, this was the first time that I had the opportunity to look at scripture. And especially in Romans, it's so helpful as a young believer to say, this is who God is. This is what his plan is. This is what he expects of his people. And you had dealt with this a little bit, Danny, when talking about submission, that we are to understand our purpose in God's divine design. And that is true for all of us as women, because there's a unique place that God has for women in his plan. So I appreciated that so much because it brought me back to what is true and how that anchors my convictions. And from those convictions, then I make choices. And those choices then direct my character. And my character then drives my commitments. So what do I do with what I believe? So I have to act on that. And the reason I bring up my friends in high school is because we still get together. And I love these women dearly, but all of them have been divorced. One is on her third marriage. None of them express any eagerness to know anything about God and who God is. And so I think the reason that I want to bring that up here is because so often we look to each other to provide a context for who we are and what we do. I want to look like her. I want to be like her. All of that is true with Leah. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm working on it. But our convictions also direct who our friends are. And so to choose our friends wisely in high school about whether they are going to be girls who are going to help us strive to be more like God or pull us away from what God wants for us and from us. So it's a great opportunity to look at our friends and say, are they a blessing or a burden in my life? And you talked about your parents too. I think there's an obvious resource for all of us in our parents, and specifically in our moms. My mom's still alive, and so she is a great resource for me even now. So that relationship never ends. And that relationship is one that our God designed for our good and his glory. So we can't say, oh, my mom knows nothing. That's just not true. And that is saying to God, you don't know what you're doing because you didn't put me in the right family. I want to be in that family. I want to be a friend with that girl. I want to go to this school. I want this job, whatever it is. So the convictions, I always come back to convictions and saying our small choices every day result in consequences that are much larger than that specific circumstance. And so how does the Lord want me, and you use these words, Danny, with integrity, to come back to that question of how am I walking? Am I walking worthy of the Lord? It's not a matter of am I walking worthy of my friend, or even am I walking worthy of my parents. For those who claim Christ as their Savior, it comes back to what does God say? Who is God? And how am I to live in light of that? And there is everything in Scripture that we need for life and godliness. So it's not a matter of saying, I can figure it out on my own. That's foolishness. So stay here, stay in high school, get to know your small group leader, and be like Leah. That's my message.
Okay, so when the issue of convictions and conscience comes up, one of the first passages that comes to mind is Romans 14. And that passage has a lot to say about these subject areas. And one of that also talks about people that are weaker and stronger in faith. And there's just so many things in this chapter that inform this subject. I think you probably know that our conscience and our convictions are not perfect. Our conscience is affected by what we inform it with, like Lauren was talking about going to Scripture, because a person can have a conscience that does not have an accurate understanding of what God actually requires. And so as far as how we inform our conscience, like these ladies have been saying, we do it by going to Scripture and by knowing it. And then there's some areas that Scripture may not speak directly to. Sometimes we call them gray areas, right? And those are often a matter of conscience. And there can be faithful, godly believers in your life that do not have the same perspective on that. People that are desiring to honor the Lord with the choices they make, but when they examine Scripture, when they live before the Lord, they make different choices. This was an important concept for me because I grew up in a really conservative Baptist church in Virginia. And there were a lot of wonderful godly people in my life, including my parents. I was saved at a pretty young age. I was saved when I was 10. But it also tended to skew a little more legalistic, a little more you know you're godly because you do these things and you don't do these things. For instance, when I started college, I had only ever been to one movie in the theater ever. That one was only because I was staying at somebody's house and they were going, and like my parents didn't have a choice. They couldn't just leave me. And the idea was you avoid all appearance of evil. Someone might see you in the theater and think you were going to see this other thing. That was the conviction of many people in my area. But the Bible doesn't really talk about what movies we go to see as far as, you know, making someone think that we're doing something different. It does say avoid all appearance of evil, but people apply that in very different ways. So I think Romans 14 is a really important passage if you're thinking through informing your conscience and also developing your convictions, because the chapter ends by saying, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So if you are convicted about an area and you're not sure that before God you can do that with a clear conscience, you shouldn't do that thing until you have prayed about it, searched the Scriptures, seen if God's word actually says something about that issue. Of course, also talk to godly older people in your life that may have already studied that area and been able to inform it. And in the meantime, it also says, for instance, in Romans 14, verse 5, it says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. It talks about how, for instance, some people would think, oh, well, God made every day, so every day is equally valuable. We should honor the Lord every day. And other people are like, oh, yeah, but the Sabbath, or in our case, a Sunday, well, that's special because that's the Lord's day, so we need to honor the Lord in a special way. As long as each person is fully convinced before God and seeking to honor the Lord, that's what it goes on to say. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. So it talks about as long as that person is seeking to honor the Lord and not violating a clear biblical command, we don't sit in judgment on that person. So we need to try before the Lord to obey his word as much as possible, but we should not try to put our convictions and our conscience onto someone else if it's not a clear sin area. So that's kind of the counsel I would give, just to search the Scriptures in an area and then to make sure that you're not putting a burden on somebody else that God himself has not actually put on them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, these are all, again, very, very helpful as for students and for moms out there as we grow in our faith and in the knowledge of the Lord. How can we make sure that the decisions that we're making and the paths that we're taking are going to lead us in the right direction? Friends have been mentioned a number of times in a lot of your answers. It's important to find good friends, but it's also important to be a good friend. And so this is going to be a lightning round, okay? So as quick as you can, think of a quality in a friend that either something that that you are working on in your own life, something that you appreciate in another. The Proverbs 31 woman comes to mind right here with so many qualities that we seek to emulate. So just pick one, because I know there's a lot. So, but pick one that that you work to, Danny already mentioned meekness. You could choose that one again or something else that would either be a quality that you would look for in a good friend or something that you're working on in your own life so you can be a good friend.
Start. We already know meekness.
I'm still thinking. Do you have one? Can you start the lightning round?
Yes, I'll start the lightning round. One of the things that I always, always, there are so many, of course, I'm going to mention two because I like to be an overachiever. Integrity. You have to have integrity. If you say you're a believer and you don't live like you're a believer, that's a problem. If I say I'm a believer and then I'm doing things where someone could observe my life and say, it's really inconsistent, that's heartbreaking. So I think that's a foundation for all of us, but that's not the one I'm choosing. The one I'm choosing...
Seems like cheating.
I know, it is cheating. So I have no integrity in this, so I'm acknowledging that right out front. But to be kind, and that is always what I tell all of the young ones in my family, make wise choices and be kind, because there's such a lack of both of those characteristics in the world. And there is so much, especially as girls in high school, we can use our words to really just tear down each other under the guise of being amusing or sarcastic or whatever. And just be kind to one another. Sorry, that was three. Go.
Okay. Mine, I think, is I appreciate my sweetest friendships know that I'm a sinner and love me and encourage me to love the Lord more. You know what I mean? Like, I think there is that, like, thought of, like, I have to pick my friends so wisely. And we do. It's not negating that point to it. But it's also, I want friends who also are humble and know they're not perfect. And we're all trying to work together to please the Lord, but also not expecting me or loving me through my hard things. Like, I offend you in some way. Please come tell me. I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, I know I'm not perfect. So I appreciate friends who are like, hey, that really hurt my feelings. Why would you say that? Not just, okay, this friendship's over. You know what I mean? Like, to give me grace. And I guess I hope, because those are the sweetest ones where you're like, I know I'm not perfect. Please pray for me. I need help in this. I need prayer for that. I can be more gracious with my husband or with my children, or that please pray for me because I'm falling short in this area. So I appreciate the friends in my life. And I think that's what I want to be, is one that's not not holding you to a standard, like wants your best, but also not judge you when you're like, I need help. Like, please pray for me. Cause I just want that realness is helpful. And I appreciate them knowing, because of course we all are, no one's perfect. So when I sin, of course that's showing my heart. You know what I mean? When you sin, it's showing your heart. So just that mutual, like, love for each other and love that we can be, like, build each other up. You know what I mean? In Christ.
I think what I have to say goes hand in hand with what you said. And you didn't offend me at all in what you said. But I think loyalty is a great quality. And somebody who loves you unconditionally and you know that you can depend on. And I know that's an area that I would want to grow in myself. And I really appreciate that. And I'm thankful for my friends who show such loyalty. And bouncing off of one of the things from Proverbs 31, I was just thinking about how she did good for the people that were in her life. Whether it was her family, her husband, her children, even her servants, she did good. And that's something that we can, at the end of the day, evaluate and say, hey, what was my life like today? Did I do good for the people that I love, that the people that I came in contact with? And that's also a quality that I greatly admire in people.
I'm going to go with joy. Chapter 15 of the Gospel of John is one of my favorites, and I love remembering Christ's word to us that he came to give us joy, fullness of joy, and to continually cultivating joy by being in God's presence, reading the word, seeking him in prayer, and then doing all things with a heart of joy. Joy is contagious.
being a source of joy at home, at work, at school. And then even as we think about Proverbs, when it says, and she works her hand and works with her hands in delight. So there's a sense of joy even in the work that you're doing. And I think that that is something that not only is evident in your own, you know, life, but others will sense it as well, especially when you're married one day and there's nothing like your home being a source of joy for your husband.
Yeah, it is really hard to narrow down. And I'm tempted to say a lot of the things that you guys have said, but I'm going to go with the fear of the Lord. And that's because it's the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Not every friend I have is a believer, but I'm so thankful for the ones that I know fear the Lord. And kind of like what Leah was saying, I don't mean that they're perfect. It's so valuable to have people who still love you as you are. They see your sins and they're not fearing the Lord and being arrogant, thinking that they're like Christ in perfection. It's just that we're both pursuing him together. And so it does make us more gracious, more quick to forgive. But I would like to become a more wise woman. And I'm so thankful for the friends that I do have that fear the Lord and also help me to grow in wisdom and in my fear of the Lord.
I want to change my answer to Anne's.
Me too.
Not
backfired allowed. Being not the allowed. Last one, because now I realize everyone took the good ones. No, I'm just kidding. No, I love everything everyone said. I guess kind of related to all of them, just excellence, like in the sense of like someone who's always going to challenge you to be the best you can be as far as following after Christ. I mean, that comes with being wise and fearing the Lord and even helping you in your weakest moments. Just thinking of friendships that I've had, just love their faithfulness, like faithful are the wounds of a friend, to just speak the truth in love, but do so patiently and graciously. And also just like the classic James, like just being quick to listen and slow to speak. Just always being, I want to be a better listener, but also I'm so thankful for friends who have listened in the hard times.
These are
Jenny,
all.
Oh, you're a faithful
yeah,
friend.
Jenny.
How about
Jenny
you?
Chippin.
Also cheating because I'm Ants asking questions, not answering. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Lauren asks you a question, you answer everybody. This is the lesson here. What's a quality I appreciate in a friend? Well, I was just busy listening to all of your answers, not thinking of my own. I appreciate a friend who shows up, and that has recently just been something in my own life, situations that we've had with in our own family and also with friends of ours. But a friend is faithful to be there when things are wonderful and there's something to celebrate, but also in those really hard times. And sometimes it's really especially challenging if someone is going through a hard time. You feel like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe they don't want me to be there. But a friend is always there, always shows up, and with a kind and encouraging word, or sometimes even nothing to say. Sometimes just being willing to be there for whatever you need. So I appreciate.
I have a fun Jenny story.
Oh goodness!
It's gonna take 30 seconds.
Okay.
A year ago, I was in an accident, and it was terrible, traumatic, and firefighters had. Coming home from church on a Wednesday evening, firefighters had to get me out of the car. So I'm on the side of the road. Firefighters are trying to take me to the hospital. And here's Jenny, who had come, and she's taking all of the dry cleaning out of the trunk because the car was totaled and had to go. But she was making sure that everything that I had that was in the car would not disappear forever from my life. That's a faithful friend.
I didn't say that so that you...
I only thought of it when you said that.
Oh, man. Okay, well, that's awfully kind. And yeah, so a lot of these women up here are my friends, and I can definitely attest to everything that they said. It works out in their own lives. So that is our prayer for you as well, that that you would find friends like that, and that you would in our ministry, hopefully, and just even in each other, moms and daughters, that you would find that friendship as well as you live this Christian life, which is both wonderful and challenging at the same time. So I wish that we could continue, but guess what? We can, just not right now. We are going to move on to something else. We'll have a little more teaching time. We'll have these ladies back up here for more questions to end our day today. So if you have a pressing question, something that you really want answered, come find me, and I'll see if we can get it into our next Q&A time. And I'm going to pass the mic off to Emily, I believe, right? Yeah? Okay, here she comes. Thank you, ladies, so much. Thank you for your wisdom that you have shared so wonderfully.
Okay, so we're going to be getting lunch here pretty soon. But while you guys are eating lunch, there's going to be a little game. It's just a simple word search. But so you'll each get one. So don't work together, because whoever wins gets the beautiful centerpiece. So there's a prize. So whoever finishes first. So you decide amongst yourself. If there's a tie, that's on you to figure out. So I'll be passing that around. So if you guys want to wait for each other, I'll leave it face down. So if you guys want to be really serious about it, which you should be, because it's for a prize. And then we'll be sending you guys over to the, like, we'll dismiss you guys kind of by tables. So we'll do that. But I'll pray really quickly for us now before our food, and then we'll go eat this lovely lunch that's been laid out. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today and just being able to be together and to hear from your word and from these wise ladies. And just thank you so much for mothers and daughters and just that sweet relationship, and just love seeing all these ladies together. And I just pray that you would help us as we continue to hear from your word, just to enjoy who you are and to be ready and excited to put into practice the things that we hear today. Just thank you so much for your provision and the way that you even provide yummy food for us. And thank you for the ladies who have been working hard to serve it to us. Thank you so much for all that you give us. Amen.